And mercy unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we're going to have an interjection of one of the series on born by the cross so that we may bear the cross. And we're going to take a look at Ignatius of Antioch. And I said to you at the beginning of service today, what sustains us through this earthly pilgrimage? What sustains Israel? What sustains the church? What sustains the people out in the wilderness? And Jesus asking Philip, where are the people to buy bread? Well, we know the answer. Jesus is indeed the bread of life, and he sustains us. Let us pray. Almighty God, we praise your name for your pastor and martyr, Ignatius of Antioch, who offered himself as grain to be ground by the teeth of wild beasts, that he might present to you a pure bread of sacrifice. Accept, we pray, the willing tribute of our lives, and give us a share in the pure and spotless offering of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Out in the forbidding wilderness, a man stands by a strange contraption. His tongue is dry, his lips are cracked. He holds a metal cup and he directs a narrow gauge hose into it, and out flows the water of life. He drinks it and he is absolutely elated. Water comes from the arid wilderness. He runs to his partner, ready to go to Mars, he says. Ready to be sustained in our journey across the red planet. I've drawn water from the rock. Such was the opening clip from a science fiction movie I saw recently. The touching of one's imagination on what may be possible, I always find as something inspirational. Such is science fiction, but we have something greater than that. We have biblical fact far greater of inspiration. Moses in the wilderness, the children of Israel, struck the rock and outflowed water. It's verified truth, is substantiated by a prophet like unto Moses, who died and he rose again from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ. God himself has ensured the survival of his people as they made their journeys to the promised land, giving them water from the rock and manna from heaven and quail that covered the landscape. He continues to sustain his people collectively and individually on their journeys of life. Ours is a journey not only through things visible, though, but also invisible. A journey where there are spiritual realities, invisible, in realms where angels and demons clash, and we wrestle not against mere flesh and blood. Real life stories of whom our Lord enables, and how he enables them by the cross, are the most inspirational of all for me personally, and I hope that you might also find them an encouragement to you also as you make your own journey, sustained by the cross, encouraged by the cross, lifted up by the cross, that you may then carry your cross as the Lord gives you a very individualized one to the promised land. We've taken a look at real life stories of saints and martyrs as they have made their earthly pilgrimage towards the kingdom of God. On Wednesdays, we've studied St. Valentine, Polycarp, Perpetua. Last Wednesday, it was Justin Martyr. All take on different perspectives on how they are to be sustained by the message of the cross on their individual journeys so that they might carry their individual cross to the promised land. Today I'm letting a little bit of this Wednesday series break into Sunday, live an unplanned preaching of Christ as he sustains Ignatius of Antioch. And live Ignatius in particular, there wasn't mere sustaining or survivalism. No, God doesn't just want us to have a life where we're sustained or we're just surviving. But Ignatius, he has this true sense of rejoicing in the cross of Jesus, as there would be rejoicing in his own death sentence even, thrown to lions in the Circus Maximus in Rome. He's a good character to study today for Lateri Sunday, this Sunday of rejoicing, because truly he had the same spirit as the apostles Peter and Paul, who exhorted the baptized, Peter saying, "But rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed." That's how we get a Sunday of rejoicing in the midst of Lent. That's how we get a Sunday of rejoicing in the midst of Advent too, which is a season of preparation, a time of rejoicing. Paul says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, that I might make the word of God fully known." That's an occasion for rejoicing. It is said that upon hearing his death sentence, this Ignatius of Antioch, he's living in the immediate generation after the apostles, he receives his death sentence. Ignatius expressed greater joy over the fact that he was going to be condemned to death than those prisoners that had been given pardon. Can you imagine that? So, you know, there may have been some that were pardoned. He was condemned, but he showed more joy in his condemnation than they did in their pardon, because he knew he was fulfilling the will of God, and he knew his martyrdom would bring the gospel to many more people, and he knew foremost that the Lord God was going to sustain him through his trials. What a journey, though. But this senior citizen, who was a disciple of John the Apostle, he was also a friend of Polycarp. He was a spry 70 years old. He would journey 1,900 miles by land and sea all the way from Antioch, where he was sentenced, all the way to Rome, where the sentence would be carried out in the Circus Maximus, where he'd be thrown to lions. He'd keep his appointment with martyrdom by edict of the Emperor Trajan. He describes his privations and sufferings, yet despite all of that, sense the man's joy. You know, there are seven letters that Ignatius wrote describing his journeys. And in all of them, despite his sufferings, he just overflows with this joy because he knows his eternal future. You can almost read between the lines and you almost hear him say, "Don't take away my pain," because he has joy in doing the will of the Father. He wants to be like Jesus, embracing these lions as Jesus embraced the cross. "From Syria to Rome, I must do battle with beasts on land and sea. For day and night I am chained to 10 leopards, that is, the soldiers who guard me." I don't know why they needed 10. He's a 70-year-old man, but I guess he was, after all, quite spry. "The soldiers guard me, and they grow more ferocious the better they are treated. Their mistreatment is instruction for me. Oh, that I meet the wild beasts now kept in readiness for me. I shall implore them to give me death promptly to hasten my departure. I shall invite them to devour me so that they will not leave my body unharmed, as already has happened to other witnesses. If they refuse to pounce upon me, I shall impel them to eat me. My little children, he says, forgive me these words. Surely I know what is good for me. From things visible, I no longer desire anything at all. I want to find Jesus. I want to find Jesus. Fire and cross, wild beasts, broken bones, lacerated members of body, wholly crushed, and Satan's every torment. Let them all overwhelm me, but that I would find Jesus. And he found Jesus in the fulfilling the will of Christ and being a wondrous martyr. Now, what shall be Ignatius's manna in the wilderness? What is going to sustain this 70-year-old body and tempted soul? What kind of drink is going to slack his thirst? What sort of wine can convey such joy? Quite rightly, you ask the question. Our scripturally based hymn for the day teaches us, it's such a wondrous hymn. Yet is God here, one of the verses says, oh yes, by word and promise clear, in mouth and soul, he makes us whole, truly present in this meal. O taste and see, the Lord is real. Is this for me? I am forgiven and set free. Explanation mark. There's cause for joy. I do believe that I receive his very body and his blood. O taste and see. The Lord is King. More than that, Ignatius uses the same and similar words to describe the nourishing Eucharist, or Lord's Supper. Likes to use the more biblically, because he wrote in Greek, understand? So he likes to use that term Eucharist, which means giving thanks. There's joy. He stops off at all of these Christian communities as he's making his way towards the Circus Maximus in Rome, and he is given the liberty to worship with them, to encourage them, and he receives the supper. What hunger does he have for the Eucharist even as he is on the road? In the letter to the Romans, Ignatius wrote, of God. God is what I desire. That is the flesh of Jesus Christ, who was the seed of David. And for my drink, I desire his blood. That is incorruptible love. There is a reason we call it the agape meal. The highest form of love is in this sacrament, in live and under the bread and wine, connected with the powerful word of God. Ignatius is sustained by the love of Jesus. What a great sustaining and healing power does this sacrament have? So great is the healing power that Ignatius, in his letter to the Ephesians, describes this sacrament as the medicine of immortality. The antidote against death, the everlasting life in Jesus Christ. And by saying these things, he's just reiterating in a different way what Scripture already says about the blessings of this sacrament. Such language ought not surprise us, since Jesus himself says, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. You know, one of the names that Ignatius was called was the God-bearer. And the emperor, when he's interrogating him, teases him about this. Oh, you the God-bearer, are you? And he says, yes, I carry the Lord within me. He tells me and assures me of that. But what incorruptible love of God in Christ Jesus is contained in this sacramental gift? No wonder do we say, celebrate the Lord's Supper. We say we celebrate the Lord's Supper, even during Lent, you know. Every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we're not just fulfilling some kind of ordinance here. We celebrate the Eucharist. We celebrate the mystery. Ought we not act like this sacrament is celebratory? Rather than bemoan the fact that worship might last a little longer, we're here because we're celebrating and we know the gifts that are given. And celebratory might also mean classy, ordered, reverent. As wine was given to gladden the heart of man, so sings the psalmist, the blood of the grape made the blood of Christ gladden the heart of those who receive it, until they sit down in all eternity at the marriage feast of the Lamb, all the angels and archangels gathering around, and their brothers and sisters in Christ. If such joy can be found through the body and blood of Christ, who wouldn't want to receive it? You know, after instruction, who wouldn't want to receive it? Not just a couple times a month or three times a month, but maybe even every week as they did in the book of Acts. You know, when you read the book of Acts chapter 2, they speak of the breaking of bread and the prayers. What does your catechism say about the names of the Lord's Supper? One of the names is the breaking of bread. They're celebrating Holy Communion there. And they're celebrating it because they know that the angels and archangels, they long to look into the mysteries of God. And they know that there is unity in the church between the church militant here on earth and the church triumphant in heaven, and they are close to all of their loved ones who have departed in the faith. Indeed, Ignatius is a man who is borne up by the cross of Jesus, especially as the power of the cross is conveyed through the Holy Eucharist, so that he willingly and eagerly picks up his own cross to get to the promised land and fulfill the will of Christ. And just as Jesus died with forgiveness on his lips, purpose in our Lord's passion, so likewise did Ignatius follow, not in his own strength, of course, but in the strength of the Lord. He was a true martyr, he a true witness. Those living down, even into our own age, may be inspired what Christ might do in the life of this 70-year-old man making his last pilgrimage. May we truly be inspired. May we truly know the source of our strength, which is the cross of Jesus, even as it is conveyed through the Holy Supper. Amen.